You're listening to Woman at Work Radio, part of the business content for businesswomen at womenentrepreneur.com. I'm your host, Aliza Sherman, and we'll be talking to entrepreneurs, experts, and authors about the issues that businesswomen face every day.
Our guest today is Patty Briguglio, MMI Public Relations.
Hi, Patty. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited on several levels. First of all, we've known each other for a number of years now. How long has it been?
You know, it's been probably 7 or 8 years, although we've never met.
You know, why don't you tell our listeners what your company does and sort of the changes that you've gone through and seen, particularly with the recession we had last year?
Okay. My company is called MMI Public Relations, which is actually a name change for us that we did this year through a rebranding campaign that we had. I started my company 16 years ago in Phoenix, Arizona as MMI Associates. About 10 years ago, I had an offer to buy my company, and which I took, and that was during the 9/11 recession, and I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina, where I started another company. And it has been truly a good thing for me to move to Raleigh. My company has grown every year that I've been here. We had a record year in 2009, and I'm proud of the fact that we have won the Raleigh Chamber's Steady Growth and Profitability Award for the last 3 consecutive years.
Oh, wow.
So I am a testament to how good the Raleigh market is.
Well, I think it's also a testament to offering the kinds of services that are in need and recession-proof almost. I mean, just that alone, that you've been getting this award and being recognized for your growth and your profitability, there are probably a lot of lessons to be learned in there. But the fact that you're using social media as what I would consider an effective and a cost-effective way of not only getting the word out about your company, but helping your clients more cost-effectively get the word out. Is that correct? I mean, would you attribute some of this kind of growth to utilizing some of the more cost-effective ways of marketing these days?
Absolutely. In fact, really, public relations is about getting the word out on your company. And what we see what I've seen over the years is that our tools are changing. And we're still getting the word out, but we're using different tools. And social media is allowing us to do that in ways that we never could before. With traditional media shrinking, you don't have the opportunity, so you have to look for these other tools. And what's really great about social media is it allows you to control the message in ways that you can't through traditional media.
What's your definition of social media?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we're doing a podcast, so I can't actually show you this, but we have a wonderful little chart here at the company that shows about 50 social media applications. And social media is just simply, in my world, anything that is internet related that allows you to enter into a conversation. And that's really what's changed about public relations. In the past, we would call a reporter or pitch a reporter, they would take the story, and then they would send it out, and then it was one way. It was pushing it all to that person who was reading it or listening to it. Now, social media is about engaging in a conversation. Through public relations, you insert the client into that conversation. And you look at some companies, look at Domino's, for instance. They're running ads that based on feedback that they had from their users saying that they didn't like their product. They got that from focus groups, but they also got it from a lot of social media applications because people are talking about you, and if you aren't listening, then you've got a big problem.
You said that with social media, you can control the message. Is it controlling the message more, or is it controlling the distribution of your message? Because from my standpoint, I try to tell clients, you've got to let go of control of the message and provide your message in tools, in pieces, so that people can have the conversations talking about you. But you can't control exactly what they say. But you can insert your brand into conversations appropriately. So is it control of the message, or is it control of the way the message gets disseminated to the consumer?
Well, I see it as both. I absolutely agree with you. I think what scares most people about getting into social media is that you don't have any control about what people are saying about you, and that frightens them, and you have to educate them that they're saying it anyway. You might as well be part of that conversation so that you can either correct the behavior or the impression, or you can change things. I mean, but from when I talk about controlling the message, I'm talking about if you are a client and you want to become, say, a thought leader in your area of expertise, you have the ability to shoot a video or make a podcast and write a white paper and do a case study, package that all together, and send it out to reporters, and you've controlled the message in the standpoint from the standpoint of that they don't have time to interview you, so they may listen to your podcast, read your case study, read your white paper, and write a story about it without ever talking to you.
Each client of ours has not just their marketing messages, but has a fundamental expertise in some area. And to now package that, as you've said, in multiple formats and hand it over to reporters who today are in such a strange place because they're no longer just a print reporter. They now have to blog, and some of them have to podcast, and some of them need to do video, things they never had to do before. So you make the reporter's job easier by handing over an expert and some expert talking points, if you will. Is mm-hmm. that what you're saying?
Yes, and we're seeing it more and more, is that these reporters just simply don't have time. And so if you package it well and you don't make it into a commercial, instead you present really good quality information, and you send yourself out there as a thought leader, reporters will start to use you as a source.
And I think that goes back to good PR 101. It just so happens that we have so many more interactive and multimedia tools at our disposal that don't cost a lot of money anymore.
And what's great is you can cross-promote through these social media tools to get your message out there. So if you have, let's say you've done this podcast and maybe you've written a blog on it and you've got your white paper, you can tweet that out to people, which will increase the views on your blog. Or you can send a message through LinkedIn.
What are some of the tips that you would give to a woman business owner who's hearing all of this and thinking, wow, I got to get on board? Where should they start? What should they be thinking about?
Well, I wouldn't try everything at once. I think if I was a woman business owner, the first thing I would do is go and get myself on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is like Facebook with manners. You know, it's
I love that. I always call it the more professional version.
Yes, it's a professional version of Facebook. And
yes.
But it's a great tool for a woman business owner. Think about it. If you can join groups of people that you can do business with, and you can connect with them. But even from other applications, think about it. If I'm going to make a call on a new client, let's say, or I'm going to a prospect, I can go to LinkedIn and check see if that person's on LinkedIn, and all the information about them is going to come up. So before I even go to the meeting, I can say, oh, I'm going to meet with this woman, and she went to school at UConn, and oh, she played, you know, basketball, so I can talk to her about the Huskies when I go in. So you already have all this information about the person before you even go to the meeting. And then you can also look at who knows this person that you know, and then you can contact that individual that knows both of you and either ask them, give me some information on the meeting so that I'm prepared, what is this person like? Or you can ask them, could you reach out to this person I'm going to meet with and maybe give me a recommendation? So LinkedIn is a really great place to start out, and it's pretty not intimidating. That's where I would start.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, and we better be LinkedIn. Are we linked?
I don't know. We better fix it if we're not.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. So what else should they be thinking about, not just for themselves professionally, but for their business? What do you feel are the best tools or the best ways to think about social media for a company?
One of the things that I would do is have a Facebook fan page for my company, because one of the, I didn't used to be such a big fan of Facebook for businesses, but now that Google is using your updates for search engine optimization, now I'm all over it. But I think that's a great way for you to reach out at people. What is it that I was just reading the other day about Facebook, about they have something like they have 350 million active users, and 50% of the active users log on to Facebook in any given day. And the fastest growing demographic are those 35 years and older. So that's a great – chances are that there's that the people you know are on Facebook. So I think that's a good place to go. I also think a business ought to start blogging. And don't blog about yourself. You blog about here's what's happening in our industry. Here's what – become a thought leader. Here are trends that I see. Here's new applications, so that when people go to your website, they see you're engaged and that you're knowledgeable. And that's a way that's how clients will find you, and that's how the media will find you.
What about the client that says, I'm not a writer, I can't keep up with it? Because, you know, how often do you recommend that a client blogs, for example? How do they manage that kind of content beast, if you will?
Well, a lot of times we'll help them. We'll interview them and write the blog and then have them edit it, because a lot of people can't. So they can give us the information, and, you know, they can maybe get an intern. You know, go to your local college and ask your local college if you can get an intern and get them to help you with your writing, or engage some of your employees to do it. At my company, senior account executives and writers all blog at least once every 2 weeks.
Interesting. Now, have you developed some internal guidelines and some external guidelines for your social media efforts, and also for your clients? So what are your thoughts on how to manage that from a procedural and from a legal standpoint, and simply from best practices? What kinds of things do you encourage?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should say that, because we're in the process right now of drafting some social media guidelines for our company, because this is sort of, you know, we didn't really think it through. I think you're going to see a lot of case law coming down on social media in the next few years. We were talking with a client about doing video resumes for as a staffing firm, and doing video resumes, and they're worried about case law on that it would somehow be deemed discrimination. But so you'll see some things. We're in the process of doing that now. Our internal controls are such that if we're doing something for a client, nothing goes out without the client approving it, and that's true of anything we do for a client. But internally, we have some rules in the sense of you have to have at least one other person sign off on it. We don't use profanity. We don't. It must be professionally done, and you must have an opinion.
Got to be. So you're working on your written guidelines right now, so clearly you feel that this has to be in writing,
which is something that we recommend as well. And we actually have templates, because some
internal and external guidelines.
You know what I'm struggling with right now is how much time are they spending on Facebook and Twitter and these things for themselves personally? And it doesn't affect my company, but I know it's being done during the day. So I'm really struggling with that, about what is going to be the right mixture for them. You know, I understand that if we're using social media, it's obvious that my employees need to be using it too, and they need to be considered part of that world. But then again, how much time are they taking away from other work they could be doing? So that's something we're going to have to work through.
I think it's something that we're all working through, and there is no definitive answer. But you mentioned something in terms of time. I mean, obviously, from a organizational standpoint, is it going to affect productivity in a negative way? And I'd always argue it'll do both. It you just have to be properly managed. But how much time do you believe it takes to use social media effectively on a day-to-day basis? Because that's another fear that clients have. We will not have the time to be able to keep up with this. So what do you say about time?
Well, I think you pick your battles. I know that the time it takes me versus the time it takes somebody in my office who's 25, they're just more adept at it. They've grown up with it, so they're better and faster than I am at it. And so I say pick your battles. If you're a business owner, you may want to just dip your toe in and let's say, okay, I'm going to just start LinkedIn. And I will devote, say, 10 minutes a day to LinkedIn. And you should be able to really build your base if you do 10 minutes a day on LinkedIn. And you can certainly do that. Once you get comfortable with that, then you can say, okay, well, I'm going to take another chunk of time and I'll go after, say, Twitter. I mean, Twitter's, you know, it's blogging with ADD. You only have 140 characters, so it can't take that long.
I've actually said that Twitter, you can mine Twitter for 10 to 15 minutes a day and really do some significant things. I think people get sucked in to a lot of what social media is all about, the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn to discipline yourself and pull back and be strategic. So I don't believe in being formulaic, but I do believe in being strategic if you're going to be using these tools for business.
I agree.
So what would you consider then to be the best reason to use social media? Because I want women business owners to not just be excited about this, be willing to give it a try, but I want them to use their time wisely and not try to get into social media if it isn't quite the right thing for them right now. So what are the best reasons to use it?
Well, the best reason is that it's here to stay. And if you don't get into it now and you wait it much longer, it's going to pass you by. And it's a powerful tool for retention and recruitment of employees. Think about it. These young people today, they go in and look at your company, and if you're not doing those things, and they have a job offer from this company which does nothing in social media, and this other company which is blogging and doing podcasts, who are they going to choose? Who are they going to think that is the more progressive firm? They're going to jump with that one. It's a really important, and you're going to need to. It's just the way we're going to communicate. I mean, reporters, we follow reporters on Twitter, and then they follow us on Twitter because we will tweet story ideas. They will tweet when they're looking for somebody for an interview. It's just there are going to be applications for their business that if they don't get on, it's going to pass them by.
You said something about, you know, who is the more progressive company. I'm almost thinking that consumers don't necessarily look for the more progressive. They look for the most pervasive. Who's there where they're paying attention?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're now paying less attention to the TV and to their newspaper and more attention to the conversations on Twitter or on Facebook or on LinkedIn, then chances are the companies that cross their paths in these circles are going to be the ones that stay top of mind with them.
Exactly.
And I think I never can think of any client at this point that we have or any potential client that shouldn't somehow be looking towards social media. I always like to just put it out there because somewhere someone is going to come up with a reason not to be there, and yet most of the reasons are based on fear, misunderstanding, hype. A lot of people are hesitant to go where the hype is, and yet now is this wonderful opportunity to be engaged in social media while all sorts of people are starting to adopt it. Eventually, it'll be like the web where there's up a gazillion websites, and then it's harder and harder to find ways to stand out. But I'm all for being an earlier adopter, although at this point, I would say that a lot of these tools are mainstream, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I think you're right on.
Now, are there any other tools that you want to mention before we go? So anything that you would consider a Web 2.0 or social media powered tool that might be useful, something that maybe you like to use?
Really, I guess the thing I would talk about is if you have a way to, like Blog Talk Radio, for instance, will allow you to record podcasts, and that would help you to become a thought leader in your area. You could essentially call in there and schedule interviews. That would be a great place for you. And then the other thing is video. You can go get one of Cisco's flip videos for $200, and it records in HD. And it would be a great way if you are a shoe store for you to walk people around and show your shoes or to describe what the experience would be like in whatever your business is. Again, you know, it doesn't have to be expensive. I really think those are two tools that they should consider.
It's been great having you as my guest today. How can people find you?
They can go to our website, which is MMIPublicRelations.com. That's Mary Ice Public Relations, all one word, .com. And we'd love to have them come and check us out.
Sounds great. And I'm going to have to follow you on Twitter, and I'm going to have to find you on Facebook, make sure we're linked in.
Yes.
And it's great to hear from you and great to hear what you're up to.
Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Woman at Work Radio on womanentrepreneur.com. Music by royaltyfreemusic.com. Podcast hosting by Podbean. To be a guest on this show, contact mediaegg@gmail.com. Until next time, keep up the good work.